Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: My Lord, those who are completely freed from material contamination always meditate upon You within the cores of their hearts. You are extremely difficult to attain for those like me who are too attached to mental concoction, home, relatives, friends, money, servants, and assistants. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, uncontaminated by the three modes of material nature. You are the reservoir of all enlightenment, the Supreme Controller. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto You. Purport: Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes into the material world, He is unaffected by the modes of material nature. This is confirmed in Ishopanishad. Apapaviddham, He is not contaminated. This same fact is described here. Guna Sanga Vivarjitaya. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears as an incarnation within this material world, He is unaffected by the modes of material nature. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 9.11, Avajananti ma mudha manushim tanumashritam. Foolish men with insufficient knowledge deride the Personality of Godhead because He appears just like a human being. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be understood only by the Muktatma, the liberated soul. Muktatmabhihi svaridaye paribhavitaya. Only the liberated person can constantly think of Krishna. Such a person is the greatest of all yogis. Yoginam api sarvesham madgatinam taratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam same yuktatamo mataha. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. Bhagavad Gita chapter 6, text 47. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna. We are continuing with Gajendra's prayers of surrender. In extremely life-threatening circumstances, Gajendra, having for a long time tried to save himself from defeat and death, and finding himself unable to do so successfully, has now taken refuge of the Supreme Lord as the ultimate resort and savior. And he cries out to the Lord for protection by offering him prayers that he has remembered from the previous life. And he recites these prayers, which include many, many different names of the Supreme Lord. The Lord has infinite names because he is infinite in every respect. So, because the Lord's qualities are infinite, his attributes are infinite, therefore his names are also infinite. Now, in every verse of these prayers, we will see different, unique, wonderful names emerging. In this verse, verse number 18, we see some names. For example, Guna Sanga Vivarjita, in the second line. Vivarjitaya, the aya indicates unto. So the name is Guna Sanga Vivarjita, or he who is beyond the three modes of nature, who is not contaminated by the three modes of material nature, as Srila Prabhupada translates it. And then there is Jnana Atmani, one who is a reservoir of all knowledge, the last line. Bhagavate. Bhagavate is a form of address. He's addressing Bhagavan. When Bhagavan is addressed, then it is Bhagavate. And Ishvara, addressed here as Ishvaraya. So here in this verse also we see these different names. Ishvara means the supreme controller. Bhagavan indicates the Supreme Lord who is a possessor of all opulences. And in his purport, Srila Prabhupada has specifically focused on Guna Sanga Vivarjita, who is the Supreme Lord beyond the three modes of material nature. This is a very, very important subject because people think of Krishna as being an ordinary person. Generally, we make two mistakes. Either we think the ordinary person to be God, or we think God to be an ordinary person. These two mistakes. Or we get bewildered thinking that neither is true, that God can't be in a form, or he can't have a personhood or a personality. Therefore, we think that he cannot be anything like what we experience in this world. So he must be formless, he must be just a light or a force or something like that. So in this way, there are different conceptions of the Absolute Truth. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives a complete understanding of himself. He is a Supreme Person with transcendental qualities, attributes. He has unlimited beauty. To say that God cannot have beauty is to limit him. To say that God cannot have form is to limit him. To say that God cannot have a personality is to limit him. So God is unlimited. Generally people say that because God is unlimited, how can he have a form or how can he be a person? But we turn the argument around and say that because God is unlimited, he must have a personality, must have form, but he also has the unlimited aspect, the formless aspect. God includes everything, form and formless. Because he is a sum total of everything, he is the origin of everything that has form and is also formless. Everything that is within the effect must also be present in the cause. There is form that we see here, so God must have a form. There is formlessness that we see here. Therefore, the Supreme Lord must also have a formless aspect. So both things are included. But in the ultimate analysis, the Supreme Lord is the transcendental person. with all his supreme qualities like beauty, mercy, and so on. But because Krishna descends into this material world and mingles like an ordinary person within the human society, so people consider him to be an ordinary man. Therefore, Prabhupada quotes the Bhagavad Gita verse here, Avajananti ma mudha manushim tanumashritam param bhava majananto mama bhutam maheshwaram. That people who are not situated in knowledge think me to be an ordinary person just like them. Manushim tanumashritam. When I come looking like a human being, they think I am also a human. Param bhavam ajananto. They do not understand my supreme nature. Mama bhuta maheshwaram. I am the supreme lord of all living entities. In the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text 13, Krishna also states something very important. Tribhir gunamayir bhavir evhi sarvamidam jagat mohitam nabhijanati mam ebhyah param avyayam. He says, Tribhir Guna, that is these three modes of goodness, passion and ignorance. This material nature is constituted of the three modes of nature. The mode of goodness, the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance. Tribhir Gunmair Bhavair. Ebhi Sarvam Idam Jagat Mohitam. He says this entire world, Sarvam Idam Jagat, this entire universe is under the spell of the three modes of material nature, is under the influence and the control of the three modes of material nature. And therefore, they think that I am under the control of the modes of material nature. Therefore, I am an ordinary person. But mam ebhyah param avyayam. But I eternally remain beyond the three modes of material nature. Material nature is always under my control, but I am never under the control of material nature. In other words, what Krishna is saying is that people consider me to be under the clutches of nature because they themselves are under the clutches of nature. We can give a simple example that sometimes a person may be intoxicated. And under the spell of the intoxication of the alcohol, he may say so many things and act in strange ways. And he may actually start thinking that sober persons are actually intoxicated and that he is sober. He himself is sober and others actually are intoxicated and speaking nonsense. So actually the fact is that everyone else is sober, but under the spell of alcohol, this person thinks that everybody else is intoxicated. So like that, people who are under the spell of the three modes of material nature, they think that Krishna is under the spell of the three modes of material nature. And in this way, they make a big mistake. So Krishna says, I am never under the spell of the modes of material nature. Arjuna may be thinking in the Bhagavad Gita, it is so obvious, Krishna, that you are the Supreme Lord. You are transcendental. You are full of divine qualities. So how is it? It seems impossible that people should not accept you as the Supreme Lord. Or another question. The word Krishna means all attractive. All attractive means that he attracts everyone and everything, and that power of attraction in the Supreme Lord is overwhelming. Nothing and no one should be unattracted to Krishna. But the natural question arises, why are millions and billions of people not attracted to Krishna, even though Krishna is all attractive? Does it mean that actually Krishna is not actually all attractive? What does it mean? So Arjuna may have all these questions. So therefore Krishna answers through the verse that I just quoted. The answer is that because people are under the spell of the three modes of material nature, they cannot understand me or they are not attracted to me. Srila Prabhupada explains that what to speak of people in the modes of passion and ignorance, even those in the modes of goodness may not be able to understand me. Even their conception of the absolute truth may not be beyond the impersonal. So what Prabhupada is saying is that even those who are on the mode of goodness may not be able to understand the Supreme Lord as a transcendental person. They may not be able to go beyond the conception of the Lord in his impersonal aspect. In the mode of goodness, one is characterized by discrimination and righteousness. These are the qualities that characterize a sattvic person. The mode of passion is characterized by pride and desire. The mode of ignorance is characterized by inertia and degradation. So in all these three conditions, a person is deluded. Even in the mode of goodness where there is some discrimination, but that discrimination is essentially between matter and matter and spirit. But unless one is transcendentally blessed by the mercy of the Lord and his devotees, it is not possible to understand the personhood and the divine transcendental attributes of the Supreme Lord. In the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadev Goswami, in the 11th chapter, speaks to King Parikshit and says that, O King, it is so difficult to understand the Supreme Lord. When he descends into the material world, he appears and then enacts some pastimes and then disappears and he leaves. And it appears so much like the activity of an ordinary person. But actually this is simply a show or a display of his magical illusory potency. Actually the Supreme Lord remains eternally in his transcendental position. He is never affected by all this. And when the Lord actually creates this universe, he maintains this universe, he destroys this universe, he is doing it as a pastime. Like a magician performs an act of magic. We've all attended magic shows, particularly in our childhood, and we see the magician does wonderful things. You know, taking a rabbit out of a hat, or I remember as a child, I attended one magic show of a man called P.C. Sarkar. He was very famous. Prabhupada quotes him. And he does some things which are really amazing. He had this lady lie on a table and then he took a sword and he cut her into two and he separated the two parts. And as a child, we were astonished. How did he do that? Actually, the body was separated into two parts. So we were really bewildered as children. How could that happen? And then after some time, when the magician saw that we were all thoroughly impressed and bewildered, then he just put the two parts back and there the lady got up again and waved to everybody. You know. So Prabhupada also speaks about P.C. Sarkar as saying he displayed so many magical tricks and Prabhupada was happily laughing. He was being entertained nicely. And the devotees were thinking, oh really, is this magician, should we allow him to continue? But Prabhupada was enjoying himself. And then he said, so you have performed many wonderful magical tricks, but can you do this magic of making the cycle of birth and death disappear? You've made so many things disappear from here. One time it is said that he made the Taj Mahal disappear. People were standing and then they found the Taj Mahal no longer there. So then Prabhupada asked him, can you make the cycle of birth and death disappear? He said, no Swamiji, that magic only you can do. I can do the ordinary magic of this world. So this Maya, the illusory potency of the Lord, is like a magic trick that Krishna performs. And he's like the supreme magician. And he puts everybody under the spell of that magic. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur narrates a little story in his commentaries. He says, once there was a magician who came in front of a king. And he had asked the king to place in front of him different types of items, like some gold coins, some jewels, some valuable clothes, and many, many such things. And then he came to the king and said, my dear king, do you see these gold coins? You can't have them. And he made them disappear in front of the king. Then he looked at the jewels. My dear king, do you see these jewels? Now you can't have them. And he made the jewels disappear. And in this way he made all the items in front of him disappear right in front of the eyes of the king and the assembled people in the hall. And then he said, my dear king, you know, I am fed up with my life, so I want to give up my life. So he sat down in a yogic posture and flames emerged and he disappeared. And that was the end of the magic show. And then a couple of days passed and everybody was aghast. You know, the king was thinking, my God, what has happened? This man has killed himself. And he's gone up in a puff of smoke. So the king was distraught and very stricken with with grief and bewilderment. After a couple of days, a lady came up. A young lady came to the court of the king. And she brought all the items that had disappeared, the jewels, the gold coins, the clothes and everything. And she said, my dear king, my father has sent these to you. Those things which he had made to disappear have now appeared, and he's hale and hearty at home, and he sends you his regards. So the king was astonished, and he saw, incidentally, I think he had also killed his daughters, and the daughter who had died apparently also had come to life now. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that these magical tricks are possible even for a human being. What then to speak of the magical tricks that the Supreme Lord can perform? Sometimes the magicians, they employ what is called sleight of hand. You know, just by a little trick of the hand, they can do many things. And sometimes it's because of siddhis or mystic perfections that the yogis have. They can also make things disappear. There's a siddhi called the prapti siddhi, by which they can extend their hands and, you know, obtain some desirable object from anywhere. Prabhupada talked about yogis who can sit in the Kumbh Mela, which is coming very shortly now, and he can extend his hand and take a pomegranate from Kabul in faraway Afghanistan. So they can do magical tricks of this sort. And Krishna is Yogeshwara. He is a master of all mystic perfections. So what is surprising if he can perform such magic that keeps the conditioned souls under such bewilderment that even though when they see Krishna in front of their eyes, they think him to be an ordinary person. Like Duryodhana, for example. He even saw Krishna displaying his universal form, but he did not get attracted to him. He did not develop love for him. In fact, his hatred was so strong that he said, even if Krishna is the creator of the world, even if he may destroy the creation just by lifting his eyebrows, still I will not surrender to him. So this is the influence of the modes of passion and ignorance. So because everyone is under the modes of nature, they cannot recognize Krishna and his transcendental nature. So then what is the option? Who can recognize Krishna as the transcendental Lord? So in this third line, or the third line of this verse, it says, Muktatma bhihi svahridaye paribhavitaya. And Srila Prabhupada translates that as, that those who are completely freed from material contamination always meditate upon you within the course of their hearts. So who is truly liberated? A person who is beyond the three modes of material nature. And who can be beyond the three modes of material nature? Prabhupada explains in his purports elsewhere that only one who is truly Krishna conscious can become freed from the modes of material nature. Nobody else. And the process for that, Krishna mentions in the verse after the Tribhir Gunamair Bhavair verse, that is in 7.14 of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Daivi hi esha gunamai mama maya duratyaya mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. He says that this maya is my divine energy. Daivi hi esha gunamai mama maya. So this is my divine potency. And if somebody wants to cross over, it is practically impossible. Mama maya duratyaya. The word duratyaya indicates that it is extremely difficult to cross over maya. Maya is so strong that even advanced transcendentalists can come under the clutches of maya and become bewildered. So what is the way out? Mam eva ye prapadyante. Krishna says there is only one way to come beyond the three modes of material nature, and that is to surrender to Krishna. Because Krishna is the master of the modes of material nature, so when we surrender to Krishna, then by Krishna's grace, one becomes relieved of the bondage of the three modes of material nature. To give a crude analogy, nowadays people keep dogs in their home to protect the house. And they say, beware of dog, and so on. Or beware of many dogs. I saw one place, there are many dogs in this house, beware. So people may put all these, you know, signboards outside to deter thieves. So if you're a visitor and you go into the house, the dog or the dogs may attack you. And you may be reluctant to enter into that person's home because of the dogs. But the moment you call your friend and say, look, you know, I'm coming, just take care of the dogs, then he stands there and tells the dog, you know, Tommy or whatever his name is, sit down. And the dog quietly sits down. And then you safely walk in because now the owner is your friend, so you have no problem now. Similarly, if we try to venture into Maya's territory and try to control her, we will be mauled. It is not possible. Maya is too powerful. She is, after all, Krishna's direct divine potency. It is impossible to conquer Maya on one's own. In fact, the Srimad Bhagavatam compares this attempt to the attempt of a dog trying to cross over an ocean by holding on to the tail of a dog. A dog may try to swim, but can he swim across the ocean? And then can you attain success in crossing the ocean by holding the tail of that dog? So by taking shelter of demigods or taking shelter of any other power apart from Krishna will not help us to be successful in transcending the modes of material nature. So when we take shelter of Krishna, mayam etam tarantite, one can easily cross over this ocean of material existence. Then Krishna will tell Maya, okay, now you release him. This material world is often compared to a jail. Now you may tell the warden, the prisoner may tell the warden that please release me, but the warden can't do that. The warden is not a cruel person. The warden may be very compassionate, but the warden has his own duty to perform. In fact, he will be held liable and accountable if he unauthorizedly releases some prisoner. But when the authority, the government or the president or the king says, yes, now you release this person, Then the warden happily releases. So Krishna is the master of Maya. She is eternally his servant. So when Krishna tells Maya, please release this person, he is my devotee, then Maya happily releases that devotee. Then we can also become muktatma bhihi, liberated souls, by taking shelter of Krishna, who is the reservoir of all knowledge, who is the Supreme Lord, who is all attractive and the supreme controller of everything. So Gajendra is glorifying the Supreme Lord in this way, by glorifying his transcendental personality. So we'll stop here. It's almost 8:30. Are there any questions or comments?